Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I'm going to show you this picture that is up on the screen, and this has been up on the screen the whole time, even behind the words. And this picture shows something that comes right after the Bible story that Gene is going to read with us. And then you're going to sing a song about that Bible story. So the people in this picture, the most important one is the one over there on the right. Her name is Miriam, and she is Moses' sister. You've learned about Moses on Wednesday nights, right? What do you know about Moses? Yeah, so God talked to Moses through a burning bush. And God gave Moses a special instruction to go, and then they had to cross the Red Sea. So Moses went to tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to set the people of Israel free, and then they had to cross the Red Sea. And that is actually the story we are about to read together. And this happens right after it. Now, you actually met Miriam a couple of Wednesdays ago, and you may not even have known it. Do you remember the story of baby Moses when he was a baby, and what happened to him then?
He died.
Oh, he didn't die. That was a good guess. Kieran, what happened to baby Moses? Yeah, so Pharaoh told his guards to take all of the boy babies. And Moses' parents hid him in a basket and put him in the river in a basket. And he was saved, actually, by Pharaoh's daughter, which I think is very cool. But Moses' sister, Miriam, was right there watching to make sure that Moses would be okay. So we met her a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night. And now she's here, and she is leading a song right after the people of Israel cross the Red Sea. That's what's going on in this picture here. And the Sunday morning congregation has heard all of these same stories in the past few weeks. So they are right at this same place in the story with you. And so they also know that God has finally convinced God and Moses have finally convinced Pharaoh to let the people go, and then Pharaoh gets all stubborn again, and that's what's about to happen, right? But God, the Bible has a lot of scenes where God does something amazing, and then people sing about it. And that's what's happening here. And that's actually what you are about to do, right? We're going to hear this story of God doing something amazing, and then you're going to stand up and sing about it. So we have to do that first part first. We're going to sit down and listen to this amazing story.
Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 14, 5 to 16, page 75 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed toward the people, and they said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?" So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 picked chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out boldly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his chariot drivers, and his army overtook them, camped by the sea. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight you, and you only have to keep still. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I'm not anxious on airplanes most of the time. I usually watch takeoff and landing because that's fun, right? And then my nose is just in a book the whole rest of the time. Doesn't matter how long the flight is. But there have been a couple of flights where we pulled out to the end of the runway and my heart is racing. These couple of flights in particular were out of Duluth International Airport, a little ways north of here. And it was only a 45-minute connection to O'Hare. But then from O'Hare, we would fly on to Seoul, South Korea, and come back the next week with one and then the next of our kiddos. And that moment, that time, that flight, when we pulled out to the end of the runway and the engines started spooling up, it was like all of the past was getting sucked in the front of those engines and a whole new future was gushing out the back end, right? A lot of you have been through similar experiences, right? Many of you have been through labor. Maybe you've been on that airplane yourself, but you know that moment when it's clear this is starting. This is about to happen. Now, it's no surprise on one level, right? You knew that this transition was coming, but at some point, two things become very clear. One, this thing is definitely happening. There's a process kicking off that you can't control anymore. You can't stop it at that point. And that's a good thing, because the number two thing is that what's about to happen is bigger and scarier than you are able to be prepared for. Many of you have been through that process. Now, by that point, you've already made all the decisions, right? You've already taken all the folate, and you've already filled out all the forms, and you've already called in all the family support, and you may have stuff that you didn't get done along the way, but none of that matters anymore, because now here you are. Right now, there is only this moment that has to play out. That's where the people of Israel were at the beginning of the scripture reading this morning. They had endured 430 years of enslavement in the land of Egypt, and Moses has demanded the people's freedom 10 times, and 10 times Pharaoh has agreed to let the people go, and 9 times he has changed his mind. And finally, the people of Israel left Egypt. And God led them out the long way. The Bible tells us this. God led them the long way around because God didn't want them to run into the Philistines and come under attack, and then they would get scared and go back to Egypt. So God leads them out instead directly to the shore of the sea. I said Pharaoh changed his mind 9 times. He changed his mind a 10th time, as pharaohs are apparently wont to do, and he chases the people toward the sea. And so there they are, with the army coming behind them. There is no way for them to go back where they were, and the sea in front of them. They can't see a way forward either. And that's the moment. That is the moment when there is no going back into the past, and the way forward is through this watery chaos that the people can't see the bottom of or the other side of. And that's where the story was. So Moses, he told the people to stand their ground, and God told Moses to tell the people to go forward. And here's what happened. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. This too is the word of the Lord. Now, you knew all of that was coming because you were paying attention while the kids sang it for us. You knew that was coming. You knew that God was going to lead the people through the water and that God was going to use that same water to defeat the enemy army that was crashing in behind them. It is this dramatic and violent scene. And it reveals something really particular about how God leads human beings into the future through destruction and rebirth. What God destroys in this story, that army of Pharaoh, what God destroys in this story is the forces of violence that try to keep the people of Israel enslaved, the forces of violence that try to entrap the people in the past. And by passing through the sea, the people emerge on the other side, no longer running from their past. Instead, they're protected by the very chaos they just faced. And having been through that chaos, they are then ready to begin living into the future that God intends for them. Every chapter of this story of the book of Exodus is about bringing God's people from a past where they are under the control of the powers of death and oppression, and bringing them into the future where they can be a new creation, a new community of God's people. And that process is going to continue for 40 years for this group that just walked through the sea. It takes them a lifetime to become a people who are ready to inherit God's future, not the past that sin had provided for them. But the first step, the first biggest step, it happens right here in this story when they have to press down through the chaos into a new beginning. Right there on the edge of the sea, and then definitely on the far edge of the sea, there is no going back to the past that God led them away from. God led the people to the sea and through the sea for three reasons. One, to defeat the violence of the past, that crashing in of the water on top of the Egyptians. God had to defeat the violence that had held the people where they were. But God also wanted to give birth to this people's future, leading them down through the water into new life. And God teaches the people there to trust that God is always with them, that God is always with them even in the chaos and the changes that are still to come in the lives that the people will live through. Any big change we make includes that step, that transition down through the chaos into something new that emerges on the other side. And God is always with us through those changes. In fact, we know that change is truly happening when we run into that resistance. We know that change is actually finally happening when we run into what seems like chaos in front of us and even all around us. And when we step down into that raging sea, we are stepping a little bit closer into God's future. And at that point, there is no choice anymore. At that point, there is no choice but to go forward and to trust God's faithfulness in a future that you cannot see. Well, thankfully, we have a God who is well acquainted with chaos. We have a God who is well acquainted with dividing the watery chaos and forming out of it protection for God's people. We know that God in the story of the creation when everything was watery chaos, and God's breath breathed on that water, and the dry land where life could flourish emerged. We know that God in the story of the Holy Spirit creating a unified church out of the chaos of voices and languages and understandings, a God who is still creating the church today. We know that God in the central Christian story of the cross, when Jesus enters right down into death itself and walks through the tomb into new life, just like he's walking on dry ground. The Sikh activist Valerie Carr talks about walking through chaos and even walking through death into new birth. In a moment of crisis, she asked, "It's dark all around us, but is this the darkness of the tomb, or is this the darkness of the womb?" What if change and chaos are a new birth? She reminds us of the wisdom of birth. She says, we know how to live through this chaos. We have the midwife's voice in our ear right now. And what does the midwife tell us to do? To breathe and push. Breathe and push. Because if we don't push, we will die. But we know how to do that. So tonight, she says, we will breathe, and tomorrow we will push. We will labor in love and through love. And Valerie reminds us that that revolutionary love is the magic we want to show to our children. Well, there's ultimately no magic needed. There is no force of will, there's no compelling vision that we need in order to get us where we're going. All there is that watery chaos that is both our biggest obstacle to the future and our fiercest defense against the power of the past. And there is God. And there is God. The God who has been this way before, who walks this way with us again, the God who knows how to walk through that chaos and emerge on dry land on the other side. To that God be glory and praise through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
And I want to lift up this morning the ministry of our Socios de Cristo committee and our partnership in San Isidro, El Salvador. 2 weeks ago, Tropical Storm Julia blasted through most of Central America. Our neighbors in San Isidro live in one of the hardest hit regions of El Salvador. The hills on this mountainside have always been at risk for landslides, so a storm of this size is especially damaging. The pastoral team in Berlin sent photos of the devastation. Just a couple of them are on the screen. But landslides have cut off many of the roads that lead out to the cantons, including San Isidro. And the landslides, along with excessive rain and strong winds, have destroyed many people's crops, with only a month or so left until harvest time. Roofs and homes have also been destroyed, and there is no homeowners nor crop insurance in El Salvador. So as always, the poorest of the poor are the ones most affected by natural disasters. Covenant's Socios de Christo Committee oversees this partnership with San Isidro, and we've taken some immediate actions to help our neighbors right now. We are sending $100 for each of our approximately 50 partner families to provide food that is immediately needed. And we're contributing $800 to the Pastoral House in Berlin to support their response to the wider community. And then, under the established pattern of our partnership, we are waiting for more specific solicitudes once the local directiva and the pastoral team have assessed the community's needs. We expect that the cleanup and rebuilding process will be long and slow, and we are committed to our neighbors in San Isidro for that entire time. We thank you for Covenant's continued support of this mission.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.